Hello, and welcome to Urban Hood Money Talk. It's a fact that we need money to enjoy life and focus on the things that we really like. I'm your co-host, Allie, and I'm here with Mushi Buya. Our mission is helping you gain financial freedom. You're listening to one of our special weekly market talks, which provides news on the upcoming week, and we're super excited that you're here with us.
Hello, everyone. I am Mushi Buyan. I will be your host for today's session. Today, we are going to be talking about blockchain. Many times we hear people misunderstand a blockchain and cryptocurrency and altcoin, stablecoin. We'll try to explain as much as possible so you understand. Please stay with us and know that this is not going to be last session on blockchain or cryptocurrency, and when it comes to money and investment, how you should be at least thinking about it. This may not be for everyone, but if you are curious, stay with us, and we have a great topics, and others are going to be sharing their input, their opinion on this technology. So thank you for joining with us. Let's get started. This concept of blockchain is not new. You know, although, you know, Bitcoin came in around 2008, people heard about it. People said, oh, there is in 2008, you know, whenever whole Bitcoin came in, people did not pay attention until it became around 2015, 17. And then when Bitcoin went 65,000 or 70,000, now whole world wants to know if this thing is going to be something big, right? But ultimately, when it comes to problem, it's all about the payment currency system. And I mean, since 1978, they started looking at the payment system. How can they make it a trustworthy payment system coming in? So three things that, you know, you need to start thinking of whole blockchain. So everything is to build on top of blockchain. So three things, exchange things of value. We already know, in the whatever part of the world you are in, if you are a doctor or if you are a farmer or if you are a fisherman or whatever profession they are doing, there are always exchange of value. Some, if you're a doctor, you get sick, you need to go to doctor, and doctor is going to give you the medicine, and he needs to get paid. Old days there was barter system and all the other way to exchange the value will happen. But let's stick to the exchanging the value. People do like to trade things, and then they want to have their living. The number two comes thing is like value exchange relies on trust. If you hear about this doctor, let's say stick to the doctor, and doctor is he's not a good doctor, or doctor is not trustworthy, you are not going to go to him, right? Any service provider, there is automatically trust is connect with that. Do you agree?
Yep.
So that's, and the third thing is comes back to a lot of the transparency. People do want to know what really happened. Let's stick to the whole corruption or human error or hidden agenda, trust, all this. So these three things, exchange of value, the trust, and the other one is like transparency. This transparency, if this person says it's going to do, can he or she change their word later on? So as you can see that, whole three things, any kind of exchange value is involved, those three.
In a nutshell, blockchain is a technology that uses math and a lot of algorithms to solve these problems that we just mentioned.
Blockchain, when they started coming blockchain in 2008, this Satoshi Nakamoto, this is one person and the whole group of people, nobody knows what happened. So what happened, he just came up, bitcoin.org or info, you can look at it, this white paper, he plotted it on the internet, and what the challenge, everything I described earlier in financial world, kind of this white paper has a lot of solution, and then it came up with the whole idea, hey, there is a digital currency you can create that's going to have the solution they're looking for. That everything what you saw, not only like exchange of value. When I say exchange of value, let's say if any country, every country
can create their own dollar or kind of print their currency. Have you heard that in Zimbabwe they printed a $1 trillion bill? Have you guys heard about it?
No, hearing for the first time.
It happened. If you Google it, you're going to find out that $1 trillion currency have Zimbabwe started printing at some point. Now you can see that how a people can trust government where government is corrupted. And then your currency, your own country currency, is not, you cannot use it to buy any product. You go foreign country, you cannot use that currency, value is zero. Right? You cannot do this. So that's the when Satoshi came up with that, they said, hey, there is a digital currency where is going to be limited. It's not going to be unlimited, just like any gold. We all know that gold has a value. You can hold it, you can keep it, and you cannot grow gold from the tree. It's very limited resource of gold. Diamond, very limited resource, tangible. So how can we create a value where it's also limited? It cannot be unlimited, but over time, it's not going to go down. And that's when Satoshi came up with the whole idea of a Bitcoin. There is a currency you can create. This is a Bitcoin. 121 million Bitcoin you can have. So currently, so far, it's 119 million is printed. 2 more million after that, there is no more Bitcoin is going to be printed. That's it. On 2140 is after that, there is nothing is going to happen. So when there are limited resource and it meets those criteria, where it has like the solved third-party trust issue, anyone buys anything, does anything, all those transactions is called ledger that is going to be copied. So there is a democratic the algorithm built in, and also in there, a consensus built in there, and there is no corruption, transparency. If somebody try to penetrate, it's not going to happen. It's all built on a lot of mathematical algorithm built in there, and there's superpower that there is not a single computer in the world is going to happen that you can penetrate that algorithm. Okay, after 121 million is done, right? So initially, all those things they're looking at that on that crypto Bitcoin solved that issues. So underneath that whole Bitcoin thing, has happened the technology used by the blockchain that was the earlier, as I mentioned, everything is called general ledger. You can see where all the transaction, everybody buys everything, everyone within that network. It's not like within that network is going to see is the whole is kind of open book. There's no hidden agenda, nothing. Trust is already there. Okay. And there is not like one person rule, the other person doesn't happen. It doesn't. It's everything is like whole consensus built in there.
So Mushin, who owns the ledgers?
That's a
for
very
example, yeah. So you're saying, right? So
yeah.
For example, say if I have a Bitcoin, for example, just like an example as a Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to sell, right? You mm-hmm. say that particular Bitcoin has got entry in all the ledgers, right? And where are those ledgers maintained? And how can people hack into those ledgers and make changes to those ledgers? And why? What is stopping them from doing it?
That's a great question. So when it comes to blockchain, so there are certain group, the algorithm, there are certain rules and regulations you have to follow. This all going to be later. It's called a smart contract. When you follow the rules and regulation and you can be part of smart contract in the public, it's called public network. You're on that network. Every node, it has a copy of this ledger. You see that on the left side, it's think of this everyone, it's a server by itself. And each server, you know, when typically when you do the write a software, you have a UI, you have a middle layer, you have a data layer, right? All three things you have when you do a data. And then you have a network layer, you have connectivity is also there, correct? So here, each one node has pretty much complete. It can function by itself. First one is second one, third one. As new node come join, everyone has a copy of the local everything it can do by itself. It doesn't need others. Current size of Bitcoin, that Bitcoin network data is about 40 gigabyte. It's not like it's too much data. Also, if one of those new node comes and join in this network, it's going to have complete data, and data is only 40 gig. It's not too much data.
So in this case, I'm trying to understand. So all whatever the Bitcoins are available now, right? Mm-hmm. There's an entry in all those stages. For example, in this case, say if it's a server or a node, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how secure are those ledgers that no one can, because they say this Bitcoin, this blockchain / crypto technology is so secure, even though it's basically using the encryption technology like SHA-256 or whatever, right?
It uses 256 SHA algorithm.
So hashing.
So you know how the hashing happens. You cannot penetrate the data.
Okay. So my question is, right? So they say it's the most secure thing that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason no one can hack into it, because there are multiple duplicate copies. And you know, trying to change all those copies ledgers at one time is close to impossible.
Yeah, so those ledgers, correct.
So that's one of my question is, who are those ledgers as servers? Are someone maintaining it, or you know, trying to understand the technology behind
it? It's not someone. It's at the end. It's like a public network, right? Before you join the public network, you have to have a certain rules and regulation. You have to follow, right? Bitcoin and blockchain nowadays, let's say there is the blockchain. When I kept saying blockchain, they use the technology before to come up with the Bitcoin, but you don't use Bitcoin to do exchange things for day-to-day operation. Just like when you go day-to-day buy some your bread, milk, just like the way you have gold, you may have gold, but you don't take your piece of gold, go in your local grocery store or start, hey, I want to buy this. I'll chop some of this gold and buy this. It doesn't work like that, right?
Yeah.
So think of Bitcoin is the gold. And then later on, they came up with this, hey, how can we use this technology? Like, as I mentioned, Bitcoin built on using the blockchain technology. And Satoshi Nakamoto, they came up with the way that, hey, there was some drawback before of double spending and all that happened. He solved that issue with that white paper.
So think of this, Bitcoin was born using that paper, then blockchain came along. This is almost like fast food world. McDonald's was the number one, and then after McDonald's, Burger King and the others came along. So Ethereum was the second one came in, and which is more flexible, where you can still use smaller value of currency to do your day-to-day transaction, which is truly meant to be using your currency and maintain your day-to-day operation.
Came in. Ethereum said, hey, we can build an application, the solution. The Bitcoin known as gold 2.0, and now Ether now in the when we write software, right, they call it Ether network. So in that network, like what I just told you, that in order for you, let's say you are joining that Ether network, public network, where you can buy something and sell, and you do those day-to-day transaction, exchange the value. So if that happens, you have to follow Ether rule. So only thing, because this Ether network, you have to use Ethereum in order to join Ether network. That's why sometimes you will hear today, you know, oh, did you see Ethereum? Or we have these dApps that run on Ether network. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are other network, you know, Binance and other network out there later on they came up with. But whole thing is like, Bitcoin keep that the whole concept, how you can do it. Now Ether blockchain application, think of this like Legos. You have all the different pieces. Now, how can you create a solution based on what you need? So that's when he said, hey, okay, when all this node you're talking about, this node is like join this Ether network. Each one follows the Ether smart contract, and they also know, okay, what is this going to do? Is this going to buy? Let's say if you're trying to buy something and you say you have, it's going to cost you one Ether. Today, one Ether costs around $1,800 or $1,900. Is it went down from 5,000? It below now. I didn't check today's price, but I know it's around 1,800, 1,900, or 2,000, around that price today. So if it cost you $2,000, less than $2,000, anybody knows what's the one Ethereum today?
I think it was around 1,900 the last I saw today.
Okay, so you are not going to use $1,900, but you might buy the TV, let's say flat TV. It might cost you less than $1,000, $1,500, right? You can buy it, and there are some vendors, they'll go, you know, we take only that coin. And that TV is going to cost you whatever Ether, one Ether or 0.5 Ether. Either you buy it USA, you buy it UK, you buy anywhere in the world, you don't have to go to bank and exchange your value. You just throw it from your wallet, and then next minute, the product is going to come to you. But at the end, when you do this, each node already, because it's running on Ether platform, Ether already knows the exchange of value is Ether, whether you are in China, or whether you are in India, or whether you are UK, doesn't, you do not have to worry about your country government. Okay. So it kind of, remember I told exchange value of exchange relies on trust. I have money in my bank, but if like today, what happens if we see that Ukraine and Russia, Russian money is locked down, right? A lot of Ukraine money is they cannot use their money because there is not enough product. There is not, things are going crazy, right? And also they want to track what happens. So when those things happens, either war or country government, there are so many that could happen. But meanwhile, middlemen, normal people are suffering. And that's when the whole Bitcoin idea said, how can we take the government away? We have the trust. At the end, you are not stuck with something that you have to be rely on this. Here, this value is not going to go down because of all the other manipulation happen. So that's why now industry is looking for more, how can we use this technology, blockchain technology, to solve problem of trust, problem of transparency, problem of like freedom. You can, freedom of going back and see what really happens. With this blockchain, every transaction happened from the day one is a copy. Each node has a copy. And it's only read and write. There is no delete here, because those who is always are in database, you guys know, read and write, and you can only write once. You can, there is no edit happens also.
Okay. So if I have a Bitcoin and I'm selling it, right, and you're getting it, right? So if I sell it for, so what is the cost is around today, $30,000, something like that, right? So if I sell, so that entry is actually made in those ledgers.
Oh, yes. Says,
I sold. It's minus one on my side, plus one on your side, and this is that this is the transaction that has been exchanged. Transaction that has been done between two individuals or two, right?
Yes, Jafar. Only difference is you sell, I sell, but on the blockchain it doesn't say identity who you are. Remember, it uses that. That your wallet, which is a hash number, you cannot go back. Oh, can I, you know, in your customer database, you can do a lookup, and based on customer number, there's no lookup, nothing. It's not letting you do that.
So once I sell it to you, I don't know who I'm selling it to, and you don't know who you are getting it from.
We're getting from, correct. I don't know you. You don't know me. All you know, this is what I want. This is the price I'm going to get. And that's it.
Okay.
That's why it makes it more like it gives an anonymity. That you others do not know who you are. So of course that now government is trying to come into the play that, hey, how can we capture this person and have them pay us tax and do that, right? Also, there is a good and bad about if you lose your wallet ID, it's got public key, private key. If you lose those hashing private key, you know, in technology, sorry, there's no backup, nothing. You lost whatever amount of Bitcoin you had. You cannot go. There is no customer service, nothing, because there is no central service anywhere. That's why government is trying to see, you know, how can we protect the normal people who is not techy, but at the end, still, if they want to invest in this speculative, high complex asset and still helping them make money or go, not make money, helping them grow their investment portfolio. Okay. So still, that's why this now slowly, Fidelity, a couple other organizations is looking at big money, retirement money, those money. They are saying we think it can classify a speculative asset, but there are work needs to be done. And that's when I think Janet Yellen and others are looking now how government come and just regulate in such a way, protect the people. It also protects the country in general.
That's it for this episode, folks. Thank you for listening. And if it was helpful to you, please click the like button and follow us so that you can listen to more of our podcast. You can also visit us at urbanhood.org to learn more about our other programs. We hope you'll check in with us again. And until then, keep learning and do whatever it takes to reach financial freedom and follow your dreams.